Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
I'm Doug McBurney, and we are monitoring, obviously, live the situation in Copley Square, Boston.
Yeah, so Doug, the first thing we could do is set some of the early rumors, and we could expect a lot of rumors, but set some of them straight based on the latest information. Apparently, there is no suspect who's in custody as a result of this bombing, multiple explosive devices having been detonated. Also, apparently, there are no unexploded devices that have been found.
No.
The explosion at the library, was that police? That was the initial report.
Right.
Apparently, that was not detonated by the police. I think Matt Drudge took down one of his links to the article that claimed the greatest number of casualties.
Yeah.
So I think that might have been the New York Post. And so we just don't know. There's a lot we don't know of this crime that's been committed at the Boston Marathon.
Right. Yeah. I was just there last weekend. Mm-hmm. I was at the Sheraton right off of Copley Square. Mm-hmm. So it's just bizarre to see that image on TV.
And Doug, remember I wrote for PC Week back in the 80s, and their headquarters was just a block or so away. I stayed at the Copley Hotel. So in the library, which was the site of a third explosive device, it's not right near the finish line of the Boston Marathon.
Right.
So, you know, we don't know yet, obviously, the motivation of the person or persons involved in this.
Mm.
Now, one thing the government tries to say is they bend over backwards to say things were not terrorist related.
I'm surprised we haven't heard that already.
Already.
I'm surprised.
I remember hearing that sometimes within minutes of crimes being committed or planes going down, and this has nothing to do with a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, I heard that at the Fort Hood massacre. I remember hearing that. Sorry. There is no evidence that this is, and eventually they ended up calling that workplace violence.
Yeah, even though the murderer there is screaming Allah Akbar.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you get more terrorist related than Allah Akbar shooting
I mean, Fort US Hood is military. Obviously a terrorist attack. We don't know yet if this is a terror. This, I think, is a terrorist attack, but
well,
we don't know from whom.
Some type of.
Yes,
right?
Some type of terrorist
attack.
So
we don't know which group, which agenda, which individual. When the government says, like Fort Hood, for example, that it's not a terrorist attack, I think their motivation is not too hard to figure out. Obama, for example, wants to be able to claim there were no terrorist attacks on my watch.
Well,
so
sure.
Benghazi, Fort Hood.
Well, and any president, really, I think is probably biased.
George W. Bush did the same thing.
Yeah, because
with LAX.
There was a Jewish
shooting
attack by a Muslim
at
Al
Airlines
at the LAL
ticket
desk.
Counter.
Not terrorism.
Or at the gate, I believe. And right just days after 9/11, there was a bus driver who intentionally, I think, killed a number of his passengers. And so I wondered, but what I remember was that immediately it was announced this is not a terrorist-related.
Now, I think there is a live press conference going on right now. Are we able to monitor that to see what they say?
Yeah, well, we have a producer who's watching that in case there's breaking news for us.
Well, I had a number of stories that I wanted to go over with you, Bob.
Yeah, I think we should. Right now, the confirmed casualty count, there are two people known killed and dozens injured, including a number who've lost limbs. So life and limb. So it's serious. It's
an attack that was carried out on a large crowd in a public place where whoever perpetrated this knew there would be cameras. So this is calculated for terroristic effect.
Yeah, right.
And it's horrifying because the video is already streaming all over the internet. You can watch what happened, and that's terrifying.
Yeah, one elderly man went down, and I don't know the extent of his injuries. Mm. So it's, it's a crime, and we're yet to find out, you know, what the motivation was. But one thing we do here at Bob Inyart Live, we try to analyze things and understand. There was no advance warning given of this crime.
As far as we know, there was no advance warning.
Right. We try to remind people the difference between typical murder and terrorism. And that's when the crime is committed with the agenda, with the design of changing public policy,
right,
influencing foreign or domestic policy. That's when it's terrorism. Mm. I mean, all kinds of crime creates terror.
Sure. Yeah.
Somebody breaking into your home creates terror.
That's a terrifying experience.
Right. But we don't call it terrorism unless the goal is to affect public policy.
Right.
So.
Well, can we talk about, I have reason number 677, if you're keeping count, to keep or get your children out of the government schools. And then I'd like to talk about the price of gold a little bit.
Oh,
if that's okay.
That's something we've discussed occasionally on the show.
Well, since I have significant holdings, then
plummeting.
It's of concern to me. But first,
I have significant holdings, but not of gold.
Well,
I just hold things.
Yeah,
like hold the clothes when my wife says, "Bring this to the laundry."
Right, right.
Room, I hold that,
and the value of that is holding steady. I believe as we look at the markets today.
Yeah.
But before we get to gold.
Yeah.
Over in Kentucky, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a threatening letter to a school district there in Kentucky demanding that they remove multiple displays of the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
And the Kentucky school district immediately
capitulated
and did so.
Because they're afraid that the U.S. Supreme Court might force them to remove these images, the displays.
Yeah, well.
When the Supreme Court it's tattooed with the Ten Commandments.
Are you sure?
Images.
Have you looked at that lately? Because
you don't have to look
perhaps,
at it. It's everywhere. It's not just.
You sure that the Ten Commandments haven't been expunged from the U.S. Supreme Court building? Sure they're still there?
Well,
after 4 years of Obama,
they were scheduled to do it, but the sequester, they were going to sandblast them off.
But
they're still there for now.
Because of the sequester.
Right.
Well,
but, yeah, they're everywhere. They're Moses, the Ten Commandments. They're
Moses
just,
himself is carved with the two tablets on the Supreme Court building.
They're all over the place. They're in the Supreme Court chambers.
So do you think maybe this school district, the management there, maybe they're not so much worried about the Supreme Court. Maybe they're worried about offending atheists. And maybe they're not so hot on supporting the Ten Commandments after all in any case.
Right.
Because now listen to they issued a statement. They say, the Kentucky Board of Education, statewide, they say, quote, "The display of religious materials, such as a copy of the Ten Commandments in a public school, violates the U.S. Constitution's prohibition on the establishment or endorsement of religion." Mm. That's what they say at the Kentucky.
And the Constitution says you cannot endorse a religion.
I don't think it says endorse. It says that Congress shall not establish.
Right.
Shall make no law regarding the establishment
right.
of religion.
So that, for example, you can't have a state religion and say everyone needs to be, well, a Methodist,
yeah.
for example, or your taxes will be higher.
Right.
But
doesn't it also say or prevent the free exercise thereof somewhere in there?
Yeah,
or
right.
is that expunged?
No.
That's still in there, but this school district, that should be a red flag to any parent in Kentucky.
Yeah. Now, reason number what?
677, if you're keeping account.
You know,
I am.
Occasionally we should go back into the archives because I seem to remember it was about reason number 39, I think it was.
Reason 39, okay.
To take your kids out of public school.
Yeah.
I recall, you know, Pops helps to run this place, Al Sharon.
Right.
He grew up in Philadelphia. Back in 1978, a teacher, this was a prestigious high school in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
A teacher, she was found dead, murdered, dead in her car. Mm. Obvious sexual assaults going on.
Wow.
And there was the principal. People were suspecting the principal did it, but
really?
It turns out he had been arrested for armed robbery at a Sears and Roebuck store. The principal of this prestigious public high school, he was convicted. He ends up going to jail.
Wow.
And the teacher who was the president of the school teachers union, he ends up, I believe, I'm sure I recall, being the one who's convicted of this crime.
Wow.
And he was having relations with half a dozen women at the time. Mm. He had defrauded the woman he murdered, the fellow teacher, of $25,000. He had three other teachers who refused to talk to the police. They were stonewalling the police to protect the teacher who murdered the woman. I mean, this is all...
This is 1978. Yeah. It was already becoming obvious that there were problems in the government education.
Yeah. Right, from the beginning, because God didn't authorize governments to raise and educate children.
Well, that's right.
That's not part of the job of the government.
No. So the problem goes back even for beyond 1978.
Oh, yeah, to government schools.
Yeah.
Government school. Even if the government schools were going to teach the gospel, we should oppose them because we don't have the right, not even if you put the government as the middleman, to take money from your neighbor and use it to educate your kids.
Yeah.
There's no right to do that.
So we were at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship on Friday.
Yeah, that was
heard
great.
A fantastic presentation on creationism.
Sean Meek.
Sean Meek was awesome.
Yeah.
Our family brought a friend of our family, their daughter. Mm. She came with us. Mm. She attends the government school. She's a public school kid.
All right.
And I made it a point to ask a question of Sean Meek's about, you know, what about someone who's thinking, you know, I'm sending my kid to the government school. What is my kid's going to have to deal with being made fun of, mocked, and shunned? And
right.
Anyway, I did that purposely to make this 13-year-old girl uncomfortable with the fact.
Well,
is that wrong? Because her mom and dad, we've told them our position, and we're friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're not above making them uncomfortable about their situation.
Well,
with
you shouldn't send your kids to a godless school. When there's a godless education system, that is, the administrators are implementing a godless system.
Yeah.
The curriculum is godless, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a godless education system. And there's no such thing as neutrality when it comes to godlessness
and
teaching kids. There's just no such thing. It's attacking Christianity.
Yeah.
That's the goal of the public school curriculum.
Yeah.
And so, that's good to get people to reevaluate and to pull their kids out of the public school.
But sometimes that makes them uncomfortable and it could affect your friendship.
It could. Yeah, it should make them appreciate
you
guys all
the
more.
Now, the good news is that the next morning, now this family happened to be staying with us because they're in a situation trying to move to a new house and they're temporarily homeless.
So you guys
homeless.
Are nice neighbors.
Well,
I don't know that Cheryl and I would let our neighbors move in with us.
Well, no, we know
I just don't know.
No, you would, Bob. You would.
Well, I guess.
Anyway, the next morning, we took both of their kids to Denver Bible Church, and they got to hear a sermon on the Shroud of Turin, which was fascinating.
That was
so quite... It was cool that the girl reported to her dad that the sermon was almost a science lecture.
Wow.
That gave us an opportunity to have an interesting conversation.
And at our church, we didn't announce this in advance on the radio because there was no room for other people.
Right.
We took a tour of the Colorado Springs Shroud of Turin Center, and we only had 27 slots.
Right.
So no sense announcing it on air. And we really had a great time. And so we'll talk about that more in the future. But it is on our sermon.
Yes.
A DVD for yesterday, April 14th, 2013.
So, folks, you should subscribe to the Denver Bible Church sermons, and then you'll hear quite an exposition on the Shroud of Turin and other interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, the price of gold. Now, in 2008, November, the day after Barack Obama was elected, I was summarily laid off from my job.
Yeah.
And I was certain at that point, not certain, but I was concerned at that point that the entire economy could collapse because the economy was already collapsing and we had just elected a Marxist.
I was scared. Yeah. And when you get laid off.
Yeah.
Right after Obama gets elected.
The day after.
It's hard. I remember times in my life where I try to look at the future and where things are headed.
Yeah.
And my personal experience tends to significantly influence what I might see as coming in the future.
Oh, absolutely.
So people get laid off. They tend to think, you know, everything is collapsing.
It's all coming down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so what did you do?
So I took my 401k, a small pittance.
Yeah.
And I took it all and bought gold, all of it. My whole 401k, I converted it into gold
that
coins.
That was good timing.
I bought at about 825, but I paid an effective about 875.
And today, it's been plummeting.
Yeah. Now, it went as high
but
as... nearly $1,800
right.
at one point.
So, yeah.
But it's dropped precipitously.
So you were doing well, but now it's what?
Now it's $1,400.
$1,400.
And falling.
This came up a couple years ago because a dear friend was urging people at Denver Bible Church to buy gold. And I do not like from the pulpit to give, you know, financial advice, whether you should get in the market, out of the market, buy gold.
Yeah, well, that's,
avoid
yeah.
401ks and all the, you know, yeah. all those plans or not. Or I don't, you know, people make up their own minds.
I know.
But I did say that, you know, as a general rule, you don't want to buy high. As a general.
Right.
I mean, call me a radical. But as a general rule, the, you know, the big money factors in the stock market and precious metals and all, they tend to buy low and sell high.
Yes, that's the goal. Yeah.
People following, you know, the sheeple,
yeah.
they tend to buy high because everybody's now selling
Everyone's
high.
Everyone's excited about it.
The ones
it,
who
yeah.
made the money, they're selling to the people who are buying
that's
high.
That's right.
And then those people get depressed, and 2 years later, they sell low.
It's so sad.
So I just made this recommendation, you know, I don't want to give financial advice, but it's not always the best strategy to buy at all-time peaks.
Right. Generally not.
It could go higher, you know.
Could happen.
That's how you reach new highs.
Yes.
Keeps going higher.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look at the stock market. It's yeah. it's at an all-time high. Well, yeah. It dropped significantly today, yeah. a couple hundred points.
But, Doug,
today.
When people are thinking, when they're interpreting, sort of like the Harbinger, we interviewed
yeah.
the author of the Harbinger, sold 1 million copies, now New York Times bestseller. But when certain types of Christians who read all the headlines and they say, these are the end times,
yeah.
when they bring that into their economic forecast,
mm.
and of course they think that gold is going to, you know, triple or quadruple
Naturally,
or whatever.
That's what you would think.
And so even if it's at an all-time high, they'd say, buy, 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 buy. And so you just need to be a bit more objective.
Well, just so you know, I didn't ask Bob's advice when I bought gold. And
thank you.
My wife's 401k,
yeah.
we left that in the market.
Oh.
I figured, you know, neither one of them are worth nearly enough to support us when we get old.
Yeah.
It's just not enough.
Yeah.
But so now we've got mine and hers. Mine is if everything goes bad, mine will go up. If everything goes good, hers will go up.
Yeah.
Hopefully we end up with a little bit of money and we can get put into a decent home when we're old.
No, you want, when you're old, you want your kids to take care
That's
of you.
That's right. That's my five kids axiom. Have you heard my axiom on having five kids?
No.
I think if you have at least five,
yeah.
there's a good chance one of them will take care of
oh,
you when you're
Doug,
old.
Doug, they better all.
Well, but I'm just saying you got to play the odds. One could end up in jail. Two
no.
could end up just struggling
Come
to
on,
survive
Doug.
With their own families.
My mother had four kids.
Yeah.
Okay, one in jail, two struggling. What was your?
Well, then you have a third who's just kind of a loser and never leaves the house and really isn't capable of taking care of anyone, not even themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have one who ends up making a decent living and can actually take care of you or at least put you in a good home.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right, putting mom
it's
or
not,
dad in a home.
That's not a serious accident,
I know,
by the way.
I know. But putting mom or dad in a home is pretty bad.
It's awful.
Yeah. My mother has four kids, three sons and a daughter.
Right.
And we figure there might come a time where somebody's going to have to take care of mom and pops maybe.
Maybe, right?
I mean, they're doing well.
But you might
they're
have
in Chicago
to,
right
you
now,
might
but
have
they're
to,
doing well.
You yeah. might have to return the whole diaper-changing favor. It might happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we did was we sort of, you know, we said, okay, let's bid on it. And whoever bids the highest, then the money goes to mom and pops, and then you get to take care of the kid, of the parents.
Okay.
So whoever bids the highest. So that's how we would decide who would get the parents, whoever bids the highest.
Well, that sounds pretty civilized.
Yeah, right?
Works out
so
good for
the idea that mom fell, broke her hip, therefore we're putting her in a home.
Yeah, that's awful.
That's, yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm able to take care of my mom and dad. Gosh.
And because it's like
that.
Giving your mother, father, grandparent, it's like giving them a life sentence.
Yeah.
You know, people have sympathy for criminals. It's like giving mom a life sentence because she broke her hip.
Mm.
And it's like being in jail quite often when you can't get out.
Oh,
and people
yeah.
visit every day and then every week and then every month. And then they visit now and then.
And then eventually.
But it's like a life sentence.
Yeah, it's awful to
think
about.
So you can't have this greater sympathy for criminals than you do for the innocent.
Good point.
There's something wrong about that. Doug, I remember the Archdiocese, you know, not to pick on them, but it's an example that came to mind, where they've been opposing personhood, which is to protect every innocent child.
Yes, they have.
And so at the Capitol, there was a bill introduced to ban the death penalty in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on channel whatever it was.
Seven.
Channel 7.
Channel 7.
And so was a spokesman for the Archdiocese.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we support this legislation. Now, there's no chance for it to pass, but we support it because we want to protect every convicted murderer.
Right.
Protect everyone.
That's what they want.
Regardless of the political feasibility of this.
Yeah.
That's our voice. And so I said to the reporter, this part didn't air, though. I said, you know, the Archdiocese needs to find the courage to say, we don't care about how popular it is. We want to advocate protecting every innocent child.
That's what
we want to advocate protecting every innocent child, that they should not be killed, but they're willing to go out on a limb and say that for murderers and rapists, but not for the innocent child.
It really doesn't compute in my mind. What is the advantage to them politically, financially? I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand their motivation.
Yeah.
If they actually believe in God, then you'd at least know that they should have some motivation of trying to please God.
Yeah, they believe in God.
I think they do.
So to go out politically and expend this political capital and say, we want to protect every convicted murderer, every mass rapist.
Yeah.
We don't want any one of them being violently killed.
Mm.
But we will not express the same support for protecting every unborn child.
Wow.
We're going to hold our support because we don't think it's politically viable. Well, in Colorado, the death penalty.
Yeah, banning the death penalty is not politically viable.
Yeah, eventually, who knows?
Well,
anyway, Channel 7 didn't air that.
What a hatchet job they did. That was embarrassing. I
thought that was a pretty good.
Well.
But they just didn't air that part.
Yeah, they didn't air enough of it.
Okay.
So anyway, back to gold. Do you think this pullback is significant enough to go ahead and jump in?
I don't want to give
advice.
But I will say, if you're going to make a financial calculation based on interpreting the headlines in the news and as a fulfillment of Daniel chapter whatever, don't invest with that kind of strategy.
Probably not.
It's not going to work out for you.
Yeah. Okay. And now you mentioned personhood.
Yeah.
There's a conference coming up. It's going to be held at Yale University. Where is Yale, by the way?
It's
in the Northeast.
The Ivy League schools. In fact, Doug,
is Yale in Boston?
When you were in Boston, right?
Yeah.
You were right near the Copley
Hotel. I was at the Sheraton, a block off of Copley Square.
And I stayed at the Copley Hotel.
Yeah.
In fact, Doug, I think it was my first dinner at the restaurant there at that hotel.
Yeah.
Working for PC Week. I asked a vice president of IBM to join me for dinner so I could get information out of him.
Oh, yeah.
And I figured, hey, this is a good opportunity. I'll write an article for PC Week.
Well,
a couple of my coworkers, six of us went to dinner. Man. It was $1,000.
Yeah.
The bill. Mm-hmm. Was my first receipt on my company.
Your expense account.
Expense account. I thought I was going to be fired. First dinner.
No.
They didn't even blink.
Oh, no. It's a whole different
It was
economy.
A cash cow.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole
anyway,
different
Anyway, Yale is up there in New England, Connecticut, wherever.
Is it in Connecticut? I couldn't remember. Anyway, there is a conference upcoming.
Yeah.
It's called Personhood. Beyond.
Oh, good. Good.
Well, wait.
Personhood at Yale.
They could have just stopped right there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's called Personhood, Beyond the Human.
Oh, no.
And it's going to be sponsored Institute for
Ethics.
For
Beyond the Human, what that means is like in Europe, they're, you know, the great apes. They say great apes are persons. And they give the right to life to apes, but not to babies.
They mention the great apes here in this article.
They do.
From bioedge.org. Yeah. The event will focus on personhood for non-human animals.
Animals.
So right there, I don't like that. Non-human animals, implying that we're animals and then there are other non-human animals.
Yeah.
I think humans are completely different.
Yeah, we're made in God's image and likeness.
It's going to evolve. The conference will explore evolving notions of personhood by analyzing them through the frameworks of neuroscience, behavioral science, philosophy, ethics, and law. And they're going to have a keynote speaker there. Keynote speaker at the Personhood Beyond the Human. Can you guess who it might be?
There's 6 billion people in the world. Do you want me to?
6.3 billion, yes. I think, at last.
Doug asked me before the show to guess who was the keynote speaker.
I did.
And I said, Peter Singer.
Ding, ding, ding. You win the prize.
So Peter Singer, out of 6 billion, how many are there 7 billion
there's
people?
There's 6 point some odd billion people, and you picked Peter Singer right off the top of your head.
And is it him?
Yeah,
is
they call him the utilitarian.
6.9 billion. Yeah.
Utilitarian ethicist Peter Singer.
Yeah, he's been advocating ever since, I think it was in the 70s, when a University of Colorado, CU up in Boulder professor,
yeah,
published a paper saying we should decriminalize infanticide.
That's
it should
right.
be legal to kill newborns.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Singer picked up on it. The New York Times, 3-page article,
yeah,
advocating. Discover Magazine did an article on it. Now the Journal of Medical Ethics, post-birth abortion, why should the baby live?
Right.
It should be legal to kill newborns for any reason. Let the parents decide if they really want the baby.
Unbelievable. And so we've got some of the most revered minds in science at Yale University, an Ivy League school. They're contemplating personhood for great apes and non-human animals.
Yeah.
I would say, before we get to that debate, couldn't we establish the personhood of humans?
Yeah, Doug.
Couldn't we establish that
these
first?
These are murderers. You know, when you don't worship the creator, you end up worshiping the creation, which typically ends up being things like rocks, dirt, bugs, animals, trees, comets, asteroids.
Yeah.
That's what they worship instead of God, because those things don't put a moral responsibility on these college professors.
Yeah.
So God is the judge.
Mm-hmm.
So dirt, rocks, bugs, comets, they're not the judge.
They're not threatening to Mr. Singer.
No.
Mr. Singer, did you catch that? God is the judge.
But Jesus Christ is, and he will judge. And he said he'll judge. And he's going to be angry. He came as a baby the first time,
yeah,
not the second time.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's been verified that you have reserved front row seats for Peter Singer on Judgment Day. I think you've earned those, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's kind of you, Doug. Yeah, the Bible says that we will judge the world. We will judge the angels,
amen,
that is the fallen angels, and the world on Judgment Day.
In Christ.
God commits judgment into the hands of his saints.
Amen.
Thank you, Doug McBurney. So we'll find out about the aftermath of the Boston tragedy. God bless you guys.